Ridiculous bike shop. Cabaret. And then you leave out, you just search the tires.
But anyway. Up until recently.
Yeah.
They didn't work.
Better because then you can direct.
CCTV news for rate increase for all of us. See, that just recently came along. Well, you don't tell everybody about it. You get them to approve it and it's on your bill. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Sorry to freak. First time for everything.
And it cost them well over $1 billion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But see, they're listening. I have a neighbor who has a development in Mexico.
Bring it down there, minimize it.
Yep.
Separate for a lot of gas across the border into Mexico.
Good morning. How are you?
Nice to see you. Is that your wife's?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like,
good morning.
Good morning. Well, that's the one we can email.
I can get you one.
Well, I like to. I got some neighbors that.
Do you want one of those?
I like to get a few of them. I don't.
Oh know, yeah. So have,
you know, yes.
I need first all here.
What was I saying?
Yeah,
I have one right there.
Huh?
I have one right there.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I give it to you right now.
No.
She made coffee.
Oh.
No, we've got, we're on Valencia, and we back up to that wash, and there's an alley there. It's up to our property. It's a dedicated city alley. And it's just it's a big weather. But there is signage there. Most of it's obliterated. It's a danger, high pressure gas line. And they didn't even acknowledge that they had one in there.
Hello.
No.
Oh. Do you want him to be here for questions for your stuff?
Well.
Anyway, what's up? Did you ask Brenda?
She says she doesn't bring those things.
The copy of the agenda. Oh no, the hard file. No.
The copy of the agenda. Just
yeah.
So
I don't.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, you know what? I have a. You can have one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forget. Just such things. Like 100 things on my mind.
Did you go out in the morning? Are you going to condense that?
I am condensing it.
Okay. And I thought when you said you're going to be in a hurry, it probably means you're not going to go through the whole thing. Okay. Is that all you needed? Is that perfect?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Get that shoe off.
Which one do I have first?
It's in process.
Nobody's here all day because I do have a lengthy history. A lengthy history.
Good morning.
Can you go out there? I would like to pick it up. I went out this morning, but there wasn't anything going on. There was some like weird activity, like the gates were closed and people they didn't recognize were coming out. I drove by with Jason and he had to come back and check for it this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Way older than college.
Yeah.
So it was weird. But we were waiting for to come. So yeah, it should be interesting, but nothing is really happening. 8:10.
So Bob, what like are you doing touch and goes with that C-130, just practicing?
Time, so, yeah, that's why I don't even look at the phone.
They're making a loop over there, so we have been coming up over like the pipe, but over the top, making a little bit of a just watching.
I just do it with the
I'm so curious and see.
That's my direction to
yeah. I thought, I mean, oh, good. We're going to have a lot of problems.
They have to be there for you.
Fire.
No, I put in my hair. So did my husband's shoes.
See, they have it. If that's the case, that'll be one of the first C-130s that they've got.
What do you have? This one?
Yes.
That's right. I've seen that. Right. Yeah, and they've got a trim over there, too. Checked out.
There's this.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Is everyone here that's supposed to be here? If not, please say aye. We'll go ahead and get started. I have a call to order, please. Are you going to have roll call. I'll do it. Sandra Ovelitz?
Here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Billy Joe Chiron? He's absent. John Leland?
Here.
Larry Quayle is absent. Bob Edwards, that's me. I'm here. Ruben Nunez, absent. Edward Wubert?
Here.
I think we have a quorum. Next item is the flag salute. If you please stand, please. Would you like to lead us in the flag salute?
Sure. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Our next item is the administration of oath. All those who are going to be publicly speaking, would you please stand for administration of oath? I have four names, but we had five people stand. Do we have any closed sessions?
No, sir.
On the consent agenda, item number one, appeal number 16-01. I don't have that on mine. Oh, I guess I do. Sorry. I overlooked the approval of the minutes for February the 4th.
Through the chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I will be abstaining from this vote on the grounds I wasn't here, so I'll be abstaining.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a first and a second. Motion carries.
Aye.
Aye.
Now we go to item number two, please. Appeal of Hearing Order HO 16-005.
Good morning. My name is Michelle Neville, and I'm a community policing specialist with the San Bernardino Police Department, and I handle mostly medical marijuana dispensaries. This dispensary has a long history of operating at 1090 and 1092 North East Street, dating back to about September of 2014 is when this case opened. There has been multiple inspections. We've issued notice of violation, administrative civil penalties, notice and orders. We've had hearings on those, and the hearings on the administrative civil penalties, notice and orders have been upheld. We have had San Bernardino City narcotics officers raid the dispensary. On October 22nd, 2016, I conducted a warrant inspection of the property and found that violations exist on the property that have been existing since the time of the previous warrant inspection, which was March 3rd, 2015, which includes, of course, the medical marijuana dispensaries are prohibited. Unpermitted construction, which is the roof connects to a neighboring building on a different parcel. Permits are required for all tenant improvements to include construction, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and other alterations. Additional unpermitted construction of electrical, plumbing, interior, offices, and requires that all unpermitted construction be removed and restore the unit to its original state. They have prohibited signs, which include the Gray Cross and neon signs installed without benefit of approved permits from the planning department. They have commercial storage in the back to include junk, trash, and miscellaneous equipment and items stored outside. Hazardous electrical wire throughout the building, upgraded panels, wiring and electrical fixtures, air conditioning and venting for a grow room in the back of the building, all without permits. The condition of the structure, the awnings are torn. There's graffiti on the property. This has continued up until the time of October 22nd. The photos that you see on the PowerPoint are from that inspection on October 22nd. Due to the length of the case, the hearing was held for my inspection on October 22nd, and that hearing was upheld, and that was hearing number 16005. So I request respectfully that you deny the appeal. The violations continue to exist. The tenant, Michael Flores, has been operating a prohibited business at this location for years. The warrant inspection revealed that they were also growing marijuana at the property in violation of San Bernardino Municipal Code and San Bernardino Development Codes. Michael and Joseph Flores, who are brothers, also had a dispensary at 1270 North Waterman that they closed and turned into an illegal grow house. That building burned due to an electrical fire caused by all the illegal and unpermitted electrical at the property. The city's conducted warrant inspections, issued administrative civil penalties, notice and order, issued criminal citations, and the city has obtained an injunction against the prohibited business and naming Mr. Flores, but he still refuses to comply. They also refuse access to the property to confirm that any corrections have been made. And business continues to operate at this time. The pictures show here the kitchen area and the back room area, offices, just stacks of personal information on their clientele, their work schedules, some pornography. There's really just no way to say that a dispensary is not operating at this location. And that's the conclusion of my presentation.
Do we have anyone that's going to challenge this or speak to it? Could you please state your name,
yes,
address, and phone number?
Yes, sir. James DeAguilera, an attorney, 2068 Orange Tree Lane in Redlands, Suite 218. I am an attorney. I'm also a former city manager and city planning director, so I do understand the very important function that you serve and the very important function that our building and safety department serve. Medical marijuana is, of course, a very controversial issue. Nevertheless, there would be absolutely no excuse for having unsafe conditions in a building. No excuse whatsoever.
If I may ask a question.
Yes, Your Honor.
Your prior experience is with the city of San Bernardino?
I served as planning officer to the Inland Valley Development Agency. That's one of the positions that I've held. So, yes, my office at that time was in the Redevelopment Agency office across the driveway. I was the planning director for the city of Loma Linda. I was the assistant to the city manager in Victorville. I was the city manager in Adelanto. I was environmental officer for San Bernardino County, so I had building and safety, code enforcement, special districts, and environmental health all working with me and under my supervision.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And now I'm getting old. I have with me here today Jeff Rowe. He is with a company that has a general contractor's license, and Jeff Rowe himself has over 20 years' experience in building and code issues. He has inspected the premises. I asked him to inspect all of the building safety code violations, and I asked him to go to City Hall and obtain the necessary permits and make sure that there were no building and safety conditions that represented a threat to the public health, safety, and welfare. He's here, and I'll let him speak as to the building and safety issues. As to the medical marijuana, I have no defense to provide today. We are in court on that right now. It's up, actually, in the 4th District Court of Appeals. There's a trial date going to be scheduled shortly, so that's being handled in a different way. I understand the initiative will be on the ballot in November on this recreational thing of medical marijuana. That doesn't change anything about the city's authority to regulate. It really doesn't. You still have the power to approve or not approve. You certainly have your building code authorities that you need to enforce. Recreational or medical is not going to make any difference. What else? I understand that there's another legislative committee meeting on Tuesday. I'll be there, where we will be talking with some of your council members and staff about the options for somehow creating a regulatory structure for these medical marijuana businesses, because frankly, it's like playing whack-a-mole to try to do code enforcement to close these places down. As fast as you knock one down, it opens somewhere else. So that we've got to come up with a system, a regulatory system. We do have state licensing now. I think that's a step in the right direction. That happened as of the 1st of January, and every medical marijuana operation in the state of California, whether it's dispensing, cultivation, transportation, all of it's going to have to be state licensed no later than 2018. I am working very hard with the state agencies on state licensing right now for my clients. The state licensing, again, is tied to city compliance. So we're very respectful of what you do. And if I could just finally say, and then I'll let my expert speak, there is such a wide range of how these medical marijuana businesses are operated throughout the state of California, and I represent all over the state. Some of them are what I call thuggy, bad elements, hanging around, bad behavior. Some of them are actually providing medications that people need. Some of them are a mixed bag where you get the people coming in that you and I would not frankly want to associate with, and then we also get people who need the medications. And the people who need the medications are nervous going into some of these places because it's just not where they want to be, not where you'd want to be, not where I want to be, okay? This is a difficult subject that involves shifting values in our country like so many other things that are going on in our country, and we're going to have to work through it all together. That being said, I'm not going to address the medical marijuana things. I just wanted to give you the benefit of my experience. I'm going to ask Jeff Rowe to come up here and speak to you about the code violation issues. And Mr. Rowe, if you would, please tell the board here about what you've done to look into these code violation problems, and hopefully you'll be able to reassure the board that there are no conditions there that represent an imminent threat to the public safety. That's what I want to make sure of. All right? Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning.
Would you please state your name, your address, and telephone number?
Jeffrey Rowe. Address is 7502 Maloof Court in Fontana, California. The phone number is 909-278-2736. So as...
if I could, Your Honor, could Jeff, could you please start by telling me about your experience?
Absolutely.
And your qualifications?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
As I've been in the construction business, primarily residential, quite a bit of commercial, like tenant improvement, for at least 20 years now. Experience in electrical, roofing, framing, drywall, plumbing, pretty much everything from the ground up. I've done it and very good at it. And that would speak to the longevity of my career here for the past 20 years. So I have looked at the property, and given this list that I was given to look over, the only things that I could see that are really an issue on here is the lack of a water heater in the bathroom, easily corrected, and quite possibly the connection of the roof to the common wall on the backside of the storage area, easily corrected with some new Z flashing and some seal. As far as the electrical, it looked all fine to me. It's all in hard conduit. It looks all perfectly legal. The panel upgrade, more than enough power to supply everything in the building. There's no dangerous conditions there whatsoever. I didn't do any of the work on the property, obviously, but I have looked at the walls, the new partition walls that were created to make offices. They're all built properly. And I don't see anything in there that would be a complete danger. But what I did tell the florist is that the best thing to do is let's get a permit for this and do it properly and pay the proper fees, get an inspector to tell us exactly how we need to have this stuff done, and let's correct it and let's do this properly. And obviously the permit was denied based on the use of the property. So in my opinion, there's nothing dangerous about this building whatsoever. A few things do need to be corrected, honestly, yes. And we would like the proper permits to be able to do that.
Thank you.
Can you please tell the board about your contacts with building and safety and your inquiries regarding obtaining the permits so that the work can be inspected? Could you tell the board? Okay, then I'll
to myself. They did.
I'll have Michael come up and testify about
that.
Yeah,
he can say
fine.
That. Yeah. Okay.
I wanted him to clarify his statement about the building department permits and the inability to get permits. I understand that Michael Flores
your experience with your profession, is that primarily done in the city of San Bernardino?
Many times in San Bernardino, but all over the Inland Empire.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I have you pull up the pictures of the wiring, please, that's in question? There was another piece that I saw that was running from one wall to another, in through a hole in the wall.
They were extension cords.
Okay. All right. So you're a licensed contractor? Is that correct?
Personally, no, but I work under the license of a home building company.
Okay. So you say the hot water heater and the building that's the part that's connecting both buildings together that is...
Correct.
Okay. Is illegal.
Not that it's illegal, but it's not really done properly. It should be fixed.
Okay. It's not done properly. It looks like per code is illegal within our city. My next question, so you're saying that running those two extension cords through the wall, there's not a safety issue with that?
I don't see it. They're insulated through that hole. They're obviously the wiring themselves, the extension cords are insulated. They're heavy-duty extension cords. I don't see an issue with it once at all.
There's no chance of those catching on fire. Is that what you're saying?
No chance.
There's no chance.
I wouldn't have a problem with it whatsoever.
Okay. And that's your professional opinion, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When did you go out and look at this building? What was the date that you went out and looked at this building?
The actual date, I'm not sure.
Right there. Stop. Right there. I want to stop. Yeah. Go back. You're not sure what the date was?
It was within a couple of days after this inspection was done.
Okay. Well, I see outlets not covered here. What I'm worried about in these pictures, and I wanted your opinion on, since you have 20 years of experience, is I'm seeing massive amounts of wiring that's not in a wall, exposed... That should be, in my opinion, only, because I'm not a contractor. Right. I know that if this was in my home, I'd be very upset. So I'm kind of going with that, or in my husband's business.
Right.
There. It just seems like there's a lot of wires just going everywhere, and that the construction wasn't properly done. I want that picture right here. I want to see that enlarged, because I want to know what's on top of that. Because if I walked into the building, I'd feel very unsafe. See all that wiring coming down and around and over, and so you're saying that's safe?
Those up at the top are not electrical wires. And the ones towards the side over there, the black ones, those are extension cords, and I think it's perfectly safe. It doesn't look pretty, I admit. But any of the cabling, given that it is a concrete building or a block building, and it's very typical to run your electrical circuits exposed in that situation. As long as they're in the armored cable, it shouldn't be a problem. It's just not that attractive.
Yeah, I wish we had the fire department here to give us an overview on this. That's all. Thank you, sir.
Through the chair, please. Stacia Johns, Deputy City Attorney, on behalf of the department. Officer Neville informs me that the code does not permit temporary wiring in lieu of permanent wiring, and these are for high-level grow lights for marijuana grow.
Okay.
Also, I'd like to bring the board's attention to the hearing order that's actually being appealed. There's a list of things that are required. I heard the contractor address the permit issue, but I haven't heard any testimony as to repair or replacement of broken windows. I understand that the signage is still there because the business is still operating in violation of the civil injunction. torn, weathered awnings, and also it was admitted that the water service is still not there. So, and I'd also like to point out the part of Officer Neville's testimony where she indicated to you that the appellants have not allowed for the city to access to ensure that these violations have been corrected, as I'm understanding the testimony now.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Bob?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you were presented yourself as a general contractor?
Correct.
Are you licensed?
Not personally, no.
Then you're not a general contractor.
Okay.
You can't call yourself a general contractor because you're not licensed. Okay?
Okay.
I'm a licensed general contractor of over 25 years. What I see here, I'm not qualified to make an opinion on. I would bring structural engineers and electrical engineers in. Looking at it from my point, there's nothing there that is to code. But I would not stand there and say that without presenting an electrical engineer or a structural engineer. So what you're saying is that a professional, but you're not licensed, doesn't make sense to me. Getting that license is very important. And to make these statements without a license or engineering doesn't stand with me.
Okay, I understand.
Thank you. Any other questions? I have one. When I look through this packet, it seems that this issue began September the 8th, 2014. That was 21 months ago. To get to this date, we've expelled 21 months of effort, and we still have a questionable issue of whether it meets code. And then in the back of the packet, there's a letter from a judge that says that you're not supposed to be operating. Does anybody else read that the same as I do?
Yes, that's the civil injunction obtained against the operator of the dispensary.
So my question is kind of twofold. How can they continue to operate, and does the city have the ability to turn off the utilities to ensure that their operations cease until they are within compliance?
From what I understand, the city does not have the ability to turn off the utilities. The next step would be in civil court, because the injunction is done through civil court. The next step would be to initiate contempt proceedings against the property.
Do you have anything that you could share with us?
Yes, Your Honor.
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking to our attorney, city attorney.
Deputy City Attorney Stephen Graham, representing the board. Mr. D'Aguilar has made, you know, argument regarding the hearing order itself, and seemed not to want to get into the issue of whether they're operating a marijuana dispensary. It is currently pending before the Superior Court, and as to whether they're currently operating that dispensary in violation of a permanent injunction, I'd recommend the board leave that to the Superior Court to make that determination and what remedies are appropriate for that. What we have before the board right now is an appeal of a hearing order finding approximately $2,600 in costs that were incurred by the city.
Over the 21 months?
Not over the 21 months, specifically for actions that were listed in hearing order 16-005.
Okay.
And that hearing order required that they cease operations of the marijuana dispensary, and sounds like they're not disputing that they are a marijuana dispensary. That they obtain a special investigation for the unpermitted construction. Sounds like they've brought in an expert to look at it, who is granted not a licensed contractor. I would suggest the board hear out their final witnesses on their attempts to obtain building permits from the city and to obtain a building permit inspection. Mr. D'Aguilera and their contractor had stated that the city refused to issue permits or conduct inspections because of the use of the property. I think we should allow them to continue their discussion on that. But I would encourage the board to there are courts that are looking at this case, specifically the continued operation of the dispensary. I would encourage the board not to get bogged down in that and focus on the $2,600 and their compliance with that hearing order, which is the subject of the appeal here today. Which, finally, I just want to say, which includes the wiring issue. That's one of the, that's the first list. So, yes.
Mr. Chairman, may I also point out that the hearing order does say that you must cease operating as a medical marijuana dispensary.
Yeah, that's the way I read it as well. Have any additional questions from the board?
Yeah, if you've got a... Are we just backing up the city's order on that? I mean, does this board rule on medical marijuana? That's hardly our expertise.
What's before you, as Mr. Graham advised, is the hearing order.
Right.
Whether or not you will uphold that, but I will defer to him on that issue.
Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I did a drive-by yesterday of this property. I saw exactly what I saw. The awning's all torn. Safety hazard, right over the sidewalk. Signage, looked like broken windows. I had an SBS bus behind me, so I couldn't slow down very much. But it was the same thing as in here, and it has not been corrected as of 2:30 yesterday afternoon. Thank you.
May I add one thing, just for consideration? There's a school bus that empties right there and picks up kids right there. There's the new art center that the city has put right next door in that Adobe-type building. And the building that this is connected to, which is called Pete's Finish Land, his building reeks of marijuana daily. And he is losing customers because of the smell. And he has been in business there for 30-plus years, and he will probably close because he can't deal with the fumes coming in from this building. So there are aspects that affect quality of life for the people in the area. And also, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Me?
Yes, ma'am.
I think what I would like to do is hear from the owner. In this finish, I would like to finish hearing the people that came to talk about this as well.
Sir, do you have anything to add?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honor, members of the board, I'm going to introduce Michael Flores, who is a director of the nonprofit corporation. I have to advise my clients, I always do, on the Fifth Amendment as it relates to any admissions about the sale or distribution of marijuana, because it remains a federal offense, even though we have other issues with state laws. So he cannot speak or answer questions about the actual distribution of marijuana, but he will speak to all of the other code violations that are not of a building and safety nature, and he will speak as to his contacts with the Department of Building and Safety about trying to get the permits to be able to correct this. And let me also say that I've spoken to my client, and we will stipulate that we'll go ahead and pay the fine for the city's inconvenience. What I'm hopeful of is that the outcome of this hearing will be that we get an inspector to come out and inspect with our contractor there and figure out what needs to be fixed and get it all fixed, but we will pay the fine for inconveniencing the city. Okay? Here's my
Thank you.
Good morning.
Could you please state your name and residence?
My name is Michael Flores. I live in Bloomington, California. 1271 West Albert Street.
Thank you. Did you care to...
I thought she wanted to ask me, you guys wanted to ask me questions or pretty much everything that we've had there. I've had when I when I first opened, I've had the fire department, Edison. This is when the federal government was involved. All everybody came in, and at that time, the fire department did give me a checkoff list. They said, "Look, if you don't fix this problem, we're gonna shut you down. We're gonna red tag you." So when I fixed all the problems, fire department came down, checked everything out, signed everything off. So when they came in this time, they did call Edison. Edison did come in. At that time, the fire department gave me a checkoff list with everything on it. So when they came in again, I never got a checkoff list. And I did go down to the city to get permits to fix everything. And it's like, if I fix something, you still have to have a permit, no matter what. So I tried to fix it. They denied me. The lady said, "Oh, no, they're not allowed to get permits because they're a medical marijuana place." So my hands are tied. And then when I do fix it, it's like, it's fixed. Now I still need a permit for it. So I've been trying to fix it, but they keep denying me.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm going to ask you if these items have been fixed, and all I need is a yes or a no, okay? Has the roof that's connected to the neighbor building, has that been fixed?
I don't see how we're connected to it. Nothing, no bolts or nothing are connected to the building.
Okay. So it hasn't been, so if you don't.
That's her opinion. That's her opinion. So I don't know exactly what she means by that. I don't, because I'm not a general contractor, but I know no bolts or nothing is connected. Maybe some glue for the rain not to come in. That's mm-hmm. the only thing that I see that's connected.
Okay. Did you get a notice of hearing, warrant, and cost incurred? Did you get one of these?
Yes.
In the mail? Okay. Well, this explains exactly why she found it, how she found it, and what the problem is. So if that was read, then it tells you. Number two, the second thing is, has there a hot water heater been installed?
There is a hot water heater in there, but it's not on. It's just, it's there, it's not on.
Okay. You have to have hot water.
Okay.
Okay, so that's not been done.
Excuse me, when you say not on, is it plumbed?
It's a portable one underneath the sink. It's not a big one that's in the closet. It's a portable one in the sink, which I try to get the permits for. Like I said, I try to get the permits to get one in there to get everything up to code. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, I want to have everything up to code.
Okay.
You know, and this is my city. I was born and raised San Bernardino, so I want to see my city look good, you know. And I have fixed the windows. We are in San Bernardino. No, I love my city, but we're in San Bernardino. There's always going to be little kids coming by, scratching it, breaking the windows. I mean, I can only do so much on that. Personally, if you having a broken window at a business or anything, it's going to happen. Next door, I mean, all through San Bernardino, there's broken windows tagging on there or something. I've fixed them, but it happens. It keeps going. I can only keep up as much as I can.
Okay. Are the green crosses still up? Is the signage still there?
Yes.
Okay. Is the remove all outside storage of the building, is that still in?
All that is, that when I had the building, that was all there. So I didn't know anything about permits. I would have to talk to the owner about those permits, even though that's all that stuff was there.
Okay.
So I don't see, there was no rubbish or no garbage, nothing. Everything's been cleaned up.
Okay. Our code officer also found hazardous electrical wiring. Has any of that been corrected?
Like I said, at that time, I got, when they told me all this, I got this list, I got the permits. Mm. They, at that time when they did their raid, they brought Edison in. Edison, like at that time, Edison and all them came in before and gave me a checkoff list.
Okay.
Fix this or we're going to shut you down. So I never got a checkoff list. So everything's up to code because the guy that did my electricity is a licensed electrician.
Okay. So you're saying it's been done, correct?
What was that?
You're saying it's been done, the electricity. So it doesn't look like this anymore?
No, it's been, everything's been
done. Okay. There's still broken windows at your business?
No, there's no broken windows.
Is
I fixed all those. The graffiti, like I said, I can only keep up as much as I can. The kids come. It's not spray paint. It's keyed in. Like someone keyed in the window.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the only reason why you can see it is because we, on like Christmas, Halloween or something, we'll put like little decorations on the window. So when the paint goes inside the grooves, then that's when you can see it.
Mm-hmm. I live downtown. I live right around the corner, basically, from this mm-hmm. business, from your business. I do not have a personal opinion about marijuana dispensaries in this city. I have no opinion, actually, on it at this time. But the reason why you can't get permits is because you're running an illegal business that, in this city, it was decided that we did not want marijuana dispensaries in this city. And what is funny to me is you say you're from San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
You love this city. Where do you live?
My grandma is still... I
know, but do you live in Fontana?
I live in Bloomington.
Bloomington?
I live in Bloomington.
He lives in Rancho.
I'm maybe 10 miles away,
okay.
Which I used to stay with my grandma's office.
I just want to make a statement, okay? This is my city. I live in this city.
Mm-hmm.
I raised my kids in this city. At this time, you will not be able to get permits to upgrade to do this work on this building for the permitted things simply because you run an illegal marijuana dispensary within this city. You won't be able to get permitted to do all of this work. It's been 21 months. You've been told to cease and desist. At this time, I would like to make a motion to uphold, including shutting down your business until it's determined in our city that it is legal to run one, that you cease and desist. You would not let this code enforcement officer with the police department stated that you would not let her back on the property to reinspect. So that...
No, it wasn't.
Let me finish. So you didn't even give the city a chance to go in and take a look. So at this time, I would like to make a motion that we uphold all, and I mean all, of the orders found by the hearing officer, including shutting down, closing up shop until you get through court. And then that's a different story, okay? And then I can respect what you're doing. That you close down, that the fine stand, and that this building be brought back up to code.
Mm-hmm.
And that the fine stands as it is. That's my motion. Thank you.
It wasn't that the fact that I would not let her in. It's the fact that if you asked her, I was very, whatever she needed, I answered her questions, whatever she did. But now, I don't know if it's because of everything that's going on. She became very rude, very, very rude, calling me names. And I was like, you know what, I'm not going to talk to you no more. Like, if you want to talk to me, you can get in contact with my lawyer. Like, there's no need for name calling. Like, if you want to talk to me. Professionally, you know, and I'll talk to you professionally.
I understand that.
So I don't. It's not the.
So you know, the remedy for that would have been to call her supervisor. But the thing of it is, what also disturbs me beyond belief is I see weapons in this dispensary.
That
bothers me beyond belief. Because if this was not an issue, if this was not a problem, there would not have to be a weapon in there. Because let me tell you, grocery stores don't have weapons. Liquor stores don't have weapons. And those are laying out. Sir, I have nothing else to say.
We have a motion, but I also have a question based on your attorney You said that you were willing to go forward and pay the fines without objection?
Yes, sir.
Do I have a second on the motion?
Second.
All those opposed? The motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. What are we going to get brought up in court?
I have a request to take a 5-minute break without objection. We'll reconvene at 5 minutes to 10.
He had this tab, so he was back up on 2, and then item 3, there isn't any. Maybe he put it somewhere. maybe it just got misfiled. Oh, here's agenda item 3. For some reason, it was put under 4.
He found it, right? He found it.
Well, there isn't any 5.
Well, 7, I mean, so item 2 is for...
I know. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But there, in my binder here, I don't have anything for 3. I don't have anything for 4 then, because I have 3, which is filed under 4, and then when I go to 5, but no 4. Yeah. So 4 is, see what 4 is. 4 is eucalyptus. I guess
okay,
I don't.
That's the one. That's the one. So yeah, I saw you had Mesa Verde and you have eucalyptus.
I have eucalyptus?
Yeah, so maybe it's just not tapped right. Like my item number, maybe?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
I see.
Both. Yeah.
I do have them. They just
so
got
that one's gonna be,
them
yeah.
misfiled.
So that one's gonna be, yes.
Okay. I'll just move this. That's what Stephen gets for being organized. I never do this with my backup. I just leave it the way it comes to me. Plus, he's got all the code sections and everything. Geez, I never got into that trouble. Let's bring my coat. Thank you.
We'll go ahead and reconvene. Is everyone back? Agenda item number 3, appeal number 16-02.
Hello, my name is Paula Rowland. I'm a code enforcement officer with the City of San Bernardino. Excuse me. And this is for 1736 Mesa, correct? Okay.
Yes.
On July 17th, the city received a complaint regarding a possible illegal burn and extreme unsafe conditions and a fire hazard in the rear yard. On September 22nd, the city received a second complaint. Excuse me. Advising of large amounts of debris to the rear yard and an RV parked on an unproof surface. On October 7th, the code enforcement manager, Jody Mansfield, conducted an inspection from the next door neighbor's property from the public right-of-way and observed the following municipal code violations. Trash and debris, improper storage, inoperable and abandoned vehicles, improperly parked RV, weeds, dry brush, and overgrown vegetation, fencing, and the placement of refuse containers. Let me just skip through here. On December 7th, 2015, I conducted an inspection from the public right-of-way and observed the refuse containers stored in the driveway along with utility trailers stored in the driveway. On December 16th, 2015, I conducted a re-inspection and I found trash and debris and improper storage and inoperable vehicles, and I issued administrative citation. The citation was appealed, and on February 25th, we had the appeal hearing, and the hearing officer upheld the citation, and I was out there this morning, and the violation of the inoperable vehicles is still existing. And that is all I have for my case.
Is there anyone here to speak to this? Welcome, sir.
I want to first apologize to you for taking your time this morning. I grew up in the city of San Bernardino, attended San Bernardino High School, Valley College, and had my first job as a clerk at Stater Brothers.
Sir, may I? Sir?
Yes.
May I please ask you to state your name and address?
Yes, I'm sorry. My name is Reverend Harold Hively, and I live and own the home at 1736 Mesa Verde Drive.
Thank you.
I have a great respect for code enforcement. I have a long history, 60 years in ministry, and until I returned to San Bernardino for my retirement, which I unfortunately have to tell you today is was probably one of the worst decisions that my wife and I have ever made in our life. I in a few months, will be 81 years old, and my wife is 80. She is in worse health than I am. She is a heart patient, and the stress and the harassment that she and I have endured since we returned to San Bernardino because of my next-door neighbor, Tom, has been just so stressful. And last night, she was up all night asking me questions about the alleged burn in our backyard, which we had never heard about. And anyway, I am not here today to deny that we had some problems in our rear yard, but I would like to show you a few pictures. First of all, I have five pictures that I would like for you to look at. We have probably one of the nicest and most beautiful homes in the city of San Bernardino, and I think it is unfortunate, and I think it's unfortunate that I live next door to a bully, and code enforcement has reinforced my neighboring bully, who has called code enforcement somewhere around 14 to 20 times. Now, that I'm either an extremely bad citizen or we have a problem here. I think it's a little unusual for someone to call code enforcement 20 times in a 10-year period. I am not able to do the work. I have spent probably between $2,000 and $3,000 since code enforcement first rolled up to my driveway and found a trailer load of trash being prepared to go to the dump. And we have gone to the dump three times, and I'm not denying that we had some problems. I don't know whether any of you have grandsons or not, but the stuff that was in my backyard when code enforcement showed up was because I made the mistake of giving my grandson my 1964 Volkswagen convertible, and he removed all the stuff out of my garage in which the Volkswagen was in, and leaned it up against my back fence. And after he got what he wanted, he never came back to deal with it, and I couldn't do anything about it. Now, normally those things would go on in anyone's family and yard, but because I have a neighbor who just loves to call code enforcement, that's a picture, by the way, of my, well, you saw the picture of my backyard, my fence. I have a couple of problems with it. I'm not denying that I had the problem. I have corrected the problem. Both the cars that I was not driving. You know, the state of California allows you to non-op a vehicle, but it hasn't been made clear to me whether you can have a non-opt vehicle in your driveway or whether everything has to be registered now in the city of San Bernardino. But I admit to having non-opt vehicles. Those two vehicles that you may have pictures of in their licenses now have been licensed. One of them, the Toyota, I renewed the tags on it, but it still has not gone through smog. That probably will be done in the next week or so. But I'm here asking you not fine me $200. I have been through enough stress. I will tell you that my annual income, first of all, you need to know that my house was one of those that burned to the ground in 2003 in the old fire, and the house that I showed to you is the new home that we built, and we decided to stay in the city, but I don't know how long my wife and I will be able to deal with the stress and the harassment from next door, and I don't expect this to be the last time, because I can go through and tell you when my friends at my church put in a koi pond in my backyard. Code enforcement was called. I used to have a front lawn that was not green enough to suit him, and code enforcement was called. One time I was cited by code enforcement for having dead tomato plants after the end of the season in my side yard. I've never been, been fined before. Also, the code clearly states that that you're not supposed to have a bunch of junk in public view, and I don't think code enforcement, bless their hearts, should be taking pictures into my yard, whether I have stuff in there or don't have stuff in there, from the neighbor's yard. That's not public view. I have a 6-foot fence, as you noted, all the way around my property, and I try to be a good citizen. I also have a complaint that I would like to share with you. I would like to show you two more pictures, and these are pictures that the code enforcement officer, the first one, I believe, is of my neighbor Tom's yard. It shows paint cans. It shows junk and what I would call trash and debris in his backyard. And then on the back street, which is Belmont Avenue, which is not a city street, it is a private street, and I would have brought to you a citation, not a citation, but a report made in about 2004 in which five squad cars were at the back of my property, called by Tom and the neighbors. Early on, after the fire, in which I was forbidden by the city of the San Bernardino Police Department to ever set foot on Belmont Avenue, which is the street in which that pile of wood of Tom's is on, because it's a private street. I spent $3,000 at that time having my property surveyed. The neighbors, including Tom, posted no trespassing signs on the back of my property. And come to find out after I had the property surveyed that I own half of that damn street. Okay? I own half of the street, and that ended the debate. But until then, there is a report in which the San Bernardino Police Department, so there's two sides generally to all the stories. I have another group of pictures that I'd like you to look at. All of these pictures, which show gross code enforcement violations, and to my knowledge, none of them have been addressed by code enforcement. They are of properties that are no more than one block from my home. And there have been no code enforcement requirements of any of those folks. And I feel totally harassed by the city of San Bernardino and the code enforcement department. And I think I have one of the most beautiful homes in the city. And I am just tired. And I'm tired of the stress. And my wife, fortunately, this last code enforcement group, code enforcement put the notice on my mailbox, and I kept it from my wife for about 4 months because I didn't want her to go through the stress. And it's only recently that she found out about it, and she has been just, you know, having an enormously stressful and bad time with it. I'm very concerned about her heart condition, and I want to put an end to it. When Code Officer Curtis was on the force, you know, he retired because of the bankruptcy problems in this city. But when he was on the force, we got to, because he had been called out so many times, he understood what my problem was, and he had to do his job, and I don't disrespect code enforcement. They have to do their job. But I am asking, my income is $27,000 a year. I pay $2,500 in property taxes to the city and to the county. I had to take out a $2,500 loan in order to pay my taxes this last year. And frankly, another $200 fine for what I don't believe is required. It's just something I can't afford, and I'm asking you not to make me pay that. I'm sorry, I've taken too much time, and that's my story. By the way, the other problem I have is that code enforcement, if there's other things that I need to correct, they've never told me what I needed to correct. They talk about a dead tree, and I'm not aware that I have a dead tree, unless it's the only tree that was left on the property after the fire, and that's a apricot tree on the back of my property in which all the limbs had been cut off of. That was part of the so-called trash that those limbs had been taken away. Yes, do you have any questions for me?
I do have a couple of questions. Can code enforcement, he's claimed there's been 14 to 20 calls is on his property. Is this, can you substantiate that, please?
I don't really have the history of how many times code enforcement has been called or received complaints on his property.
Okay.
I'm saying somewhere around 15 to 20.
Okay.
I don't have an exact.
What is the law about non-operational? Can they be parked in your driveway?
I'd be happy to provide that to you, and the definition is on the administrative citation that the appellant received. So I'll go ahead and read from there about the city codes regarding what an inoperable vehicle is. An inoperable or abandoned vehicle means any vehicle operative or inoperative that is mechanically incapable of being driven or prohibited from being operated on a public street or highway pursuant to the California Vehicle Code due to license plates, registration, equipment, or safety-related matters, or has been left by the owner or responsible person for over 72 hours and has indicia of being inoperable, including but not limited to flat or deflated tires, cobwebs, and accumulated dirt, trash, or debris in or on the vehicle, or a wrecked or dismantled vehicle. And that is listed on the citation received by the appellant.
Right. That's confusing to me.
So,
if somebody has a race car, they can only race it on the weekend. You can't operate it on the on the city streets, but you can operate it at a racetrack. Would they have a problem and be able to and get a citation like this?
If it is not allowed to be driven on the street under the California Vehicle Code, then it's not allowed by the city of San Bernardino according to this definition.
Be a dune buggy, it could be anything that you can drive on the street, you cannot have parked on your property. Is that what you're saying to me?
It's defined as an inoperable or abandoned vehicle if it's prohibited from being operated on a public street or highway pursuant to the California Vehicle Code. Okay. That's what our code states.
Okay. Sir?
Yes.
I have a question for you. Do you have two vehicles that are non-operational?
I have no vehicles that are non-operational.
Okay. So these vehicles, the white Toyota and the white Chevy van, are those still on your property, sir?
The van is here. I drove it here.
Oh, so it is.
It has it always ran. You know, the California Vehicle Code is tough,
mm-hmm.
Especially on folks like us who are retired and who are on limited incomes.
I understand.
If you license it and register it this year, if you go 1 month without insurance on it,
uh-huh.
then they suspend your license, uh-huh. so it's no longer operable.
Okay.
Okay. You are allowed to non-op the vehicle,
uh-huh.
which I did, okay, and then you're allowed to not pay insurance on it.
Right.
So the city and the... I don't think the city's too clear on that, but we're talking about three cars.
Mm-hmm.
My next-door neighbor has 10 cars.
Mm-hmm.
They have my neighbors right next to me have about 10 cars and four families who live in that house. The folks behind me who used to, who called the police out along with my neighbor many years ago on me, the reason they wanted that private street is they have a whole bunch of apartments that they were renting to students and so forth,
mm-hmm.
illegally. I don't know whether they still do that or not, but, you know, I'm not a tattletale in what goes on. You know, I'm not here to, you know, just like I showed you all these violations in my neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
right? The man who calls code enforcement, okay, on me all the time. There are four trucks that sit in the dirt on the other side of his property. Okay? They may or may not be operable. I don't know that. But they sit in the dirt. Okay. Now, my motorhome, which sits right next to his on this street that I originally wasn't allowed to be on, I was cited for it being in my front yard, you know, not behind a six-foot fence. So I, on that occasion, one of those things I mentioned, I built a six-foot fence.
Sir?
But then I put it on the back of the property, and code enforcement, not intentionally, but they said that, and I'm still not clear on this, my motorhome, they were saying, is on an unimproved surface. That is not true. The motorhome sits, you know how the old driveways?
Mm-hmm.
It's a four-inch deep cement driveway, two strips, and the motorhome sits on concrete on a driveway in my backyard. It does not and never did sit on an unimproved surface.
Sir.
And that's just
on
errors, but that's the reality.
On the second citation where it says remove, excuse me, on the first citation where it says to remove the trash, have you done that?
Yes.
Yes, you have. And the Toyota is no longer there? Is that what you said?
No, the Toyota is still there, and it is registered.
It is registered.
It is registered. Well, the fees have been paid, but it has to go down to smog, and it
right.
probably will.
So you
go to,
so you have a red.
It probably will go to smog today.
Okay, or you have a red tag or whatever on it.
Yeah, but the tags are paid on it.
Okay, that's all I have.
And it runs just fine. Always did.
Yes, sir. I have just a general question regarding paved surface. The definition of a paved surface. Bring it up because it seems to be it varies cities by cities. But, for instance, we've got on Valencia a great big three-car garage was just built. He ran out of money to concrete his driveway. So the city inspector, building inspector, allowed him to put gravel in. Now, is that a paved surface? I don't, just general question. I'm just trying to clear my mind.
Is the citation for a paved surface or just for having the in-ops?
That would not be allowed as a surface. It has to be asphalt or concrete.
And I'd like to point out that the citation at issue is not for the vehicle on an unimproved surface. I think that was an anecdote from another time. It's for having the inoperable vehicles out of, you're either supposed to have them in a garage or other enclosed surface if they are in the in-op status.
And I would also like to add on the notice of violation, the RV that he's talking about, that was not an issue as far as where it was parked. It was that it was inoperable.
Do you have any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I do have one comment. When did you take those pictures of the outside of your home?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
When did you take the pictures of the outside of your home? The pictures that you brought to us, when did you take those?
Maybe a month ago.
A month ago?
2 months ago, I don't remember.
It's a very nice home. It's a very nice home.
That's the way it looks.
Yes. I would like to make a motion that we I'm trying to find the right wording.
Let me interrupt you for a moment for your motion. Has code been out to look at the property lately?
I went out there this morning, and the only thing I observed was the inoperable cars that are not, they don't have the current registration on the displayed on the license plate.
But they're off the street, though, right?
Correct.
Are they in the driveway?
They're in the driveway.
So they're not in the enclosed area as required by the code?
And you say that the vehicles in your driveway have been registered? The registration is current?
All of the vehicles in the driveway are currently registered, yes.
And you have the tags on the vehicles?
I don't have the tag for the Toyota.
And what will it take for you to do that?
The registration is paid. I need to take it to the SMOG. As a matter of fact, my worker was there last night, and he changed the oil in the Toyota and the filter for me, and it's ready to go and be smogged. But it always ran. It's just, I just hadn't gotten it down to get it smogged.
Okay. Would you like to continue your motion?
Yes. I would like to make a motion to dismiss the fine for $200. Seems like you've tried and you tried. And I honestly believe that you are caught up, So I want to make a motion to dismiss the $200 fine amount. That's my motion.
Second.
Do we have any comments on the motion? Do I have a second?
Second.
Any opposed? Motion so approved. Sir, do you understand what we just did?
I'm sorry?
Do you understand what we just did?
Yes, you dismissed the fine.
That's correct.
I am very grateful to you. That will be a help.
Well, now, your end of the bargain is that you're going to have to get that car smogged and registered.
I will do that. I will do that today.
And I believe you.
I will. I will.
You have a good
Thank
day.
You very, very much.
Thank you, sir.
Does code enforcement have any other issues that I need to deal with?
If you'd like to talk with Officer Roland, you can talk to her after the hearing. Since it's not at issue on the hearing, that would be a discussion for outside.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Did you get your pictures, sir? My colleague to the left will try to sell them if you don't get them. Well, Ed. Item number four.
And this is for 1530 Eucalyptus Drive. On May 14th, the city of 2015, the city received a complaint regarding trash and tires in the front yard and cars that do not work in public view. On August 20th of 2015, a notice of complaint was mailed to the owner. On September 28th, I conducted an inspection from the public right-of-way and observed the following violations: trash, debris, and improper storage, inoperable and abandoned vehicles, and the placement of refuse containers. I issued a notice of violation, and the notice was mailed to the property owner and also posted on the property. On October 15th, 2015, I conducted a re-inspection of the property and observed some improvement. On December 15th, I conducted a follow-up inspection from the public right-of-way and found the following violations continued to exist: trash, debris, and improper storage, There was a vehicle ramp, auto supplies, auto parts, automotive tools, and indoor furniture stored in public view. There were two vehicles with flat tires stored in public view, and the refuse containers were also stored in the driveway. I issued administrative citation, and the citation was appealed, and we had an appeal hearing on the 25th of February, and the hearing officer upheld the citation. I went out to the property this morning and found that there's still improper storage, and the trash cans were in the street, but today probably is trash pickup day. The vehicle parked in the street, which obviously is not on the property, it does not have current registration, and it almost has a flat tire.
Are you saying that's their vehicle or not?
Yes, that is their vehicle. And there's also a new inoperable vehicle in the driveway with no plates on it and a one-day moving permit from April, and that would be the white Ford in the driveway.
Is that all you had?
Yes, sir.
I think we have two folks who would like to address. If I could ask you to please state your full name and address.
Good morning, sir. My name is James Charhouse. I am a resident at 1530 North Eucalyptus Drive in San Bernardino.
And my name is Tara Moe. I am a resident at the same address of 1530 North Eucalyptus Drive. I would like to say that I have been a resident for 36 years of San Bernardino. I do work for the city as well at Serrano Middle School. So I've graduated. I've gone to school here in the same city. I've been on numerous boards of directors for the Center for Individual Development. So I have a very strong bond with the city. In regards to, I'm looking at some paperwork here. It was stated that we were notified in August on the 20th. We did not receive that paperwork. We were having some problems with the post office. We were losing bills. We were getting late bills in the mail. We went to the post office on Boulder and asked them if mail had been going missing because, like I said, we were getting late bills. This is part of what I think may have been taken from our mailbox. And there was nothing posted on the house, which I know we were getting stuff posted during that time, but we never received anything for the August 20th. The first time we were actually notified was in September, on the 29th. She did come to our home. She inspected the property and found the three code violations. At that point in time, on the weekend of October 3rd and 4th, because she had notified in the statement she would be back in 14 days to check the property, I was personally out there on the 3rd and 4th of October cleaning the driveway. My nephew has a tendency to get vehicles. He'll work on them in the driveway. And both James and I have gotten on him about, you keep it clean. You know, I'm not asking you to pay rent. I'm not asking you to do, you know, he's a kid. I'm not asking you to do a lot. Just keep the property clean. I can't afford these violations. You know, I live on a budget. I mean, I'm a city worker, and we all know we've got bills to pay, we've got lives to live, and I don't have this kind of money. So I get on him all the time about these vehicles, and he just recently obtained that Ford. And he bought the Ford through a security company. They had to remove the plates off of the vehicle. So we are pending the plates to come in the mail. It is registered. It's pretty much, all of that has been taken care of. It's just pending the smog, like the other gentleman said. With his vehicles, we're pending a smog on that one. All of the other vehicles are currently registered, although the tags on the 300 were stolen within, and I guess she said that they weren't on there today. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so they've been stolen. That car is registered, and we have AAA, we go there through the DMV. We have paperwork stating that that vehicle is registered. If you need to see it, we can provide it. That's not a problem. We just don't have it with us today. But we do have all of the vehicles in the driveway. The one that is on the street are legal vehicles. The problem that we have with the one tire is that it does frequently lose air. We are continually out there filling it. We have taken that tire to a tire shop, Manuel's Tires. They have not found holes in it. We cannot figure out why it's depleting the air. It depletes air approximately every
every 2 weeks.
Every
or
2 weeks, and we can't figure out what's going on. So we do need to probably get a tire for that vehicle or have that rim checked, because it is, we go out with the compressor and we're continually airing up that tire because we are scared that code enforcement is going to come by and find us again. So I'm literally now a nervous wreck going out and cleaning the driveway. We built a fence to hide the trash cans, so we're putting our own money out. I don't have money to cover these fines. So I don't know what to do at this point. But the trash and the debris in regards to the tools, the car ramps, pretty much everything has been cleaned off of the property in regards to any of the automotive stuff and the trash and the debris. The trash cans have been moved up behind the driveway, behind the back area on the side. We put a fence up, and today the reason why they were out was it was trash day. So as soon as we get home, if everything has been, the trash has come by and been dumped, we immediately take the cans back. So other than that, the yard furniture in the front, it was a wooden table and like a pub set, you know. That's been taken into one of the back sheds, and now we have plastic furniture out that you can see in that picture there.
You say you visited the property this morning?
Correct.
And the discrepancies noted were?
Well, they still have improper storage of some items. You can see them hanging from the lattice on the front porch.
And that's easy. I can go ahead and move those. The two blue containers are pesticides for my roses. The other two are different. One is a cleaner that we were using to clean the property on the outside. I mean, those things I can just move on the inside because we do have a patio table inside of that enclosure there. So I can move those inside and store them properly. That's not a big deal. The stuff that's on the rabbit enclosure right there, I can move that as well. That's literally, that box is up on top of there, and it holds all of my scoop to feed my rabbits and stuff like that. I can move that stuff. And then there's a nozzle for a hose on the top.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to point out to the board that the issue is not whether they've come into compliance as of the date of today's hearing. The issue is whether the violations existed on the date of the citation and whether the hearing officer's order was properly issued. And I would submit to you that the pictures shown for the date of the citation demonstrate the violations as cited.
Any comments?
I do want to say that after we got the initial violation, like I said, on September 29th was when we first were notified that there were problems. I did make a phone call to Officer Roland. I was connected to her voicemail. I did leave a voicemail. I did not get a return phone call back at that time. We waited the 14 days, and we were not we figured, okay, if there's something wrong, they're going to notify us with another notice or something. We received nothing in that time. The next time that we were notified was, it was the December. Because it says here on the paperwork that she came out October 15th, reinspecting was conducted, observed some improvement. There was no paperwork left behind then, but then we were notified in December. So it seemed like it was such a long gap. We thought we had fixed violations, or because I had made that call in to say, hey, look, what specifically do we have to fix in regards to the violations that are going on? I went on the computer. I read all the codes that that San Bernardino has out there for people to look up on the internet. I went to look at all the codes that we needed to fix. So I literally was out there cleaning up, and within that initial 14 days, the property was clean to the point that I felt that if she came out to reinspect, we would not be in violation of any of those things. That black car is no longer on the property. We did do numerous dump runs. The other office equipment that she said was in my driveway, all of that was taken to the dump. So we've done probably 2 to 3 dump runs within the last 4 months, just taking stuff that we thought we would get in trouble for off of the property.
May I be heard, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
I'd like to point out that the municipal code does not require a notice of violation. It is simply a courtesy notifying a property owner or a resident that violations exist. So in theory, a citation can be issued under the code when the violations are observed. In this case, a notice was issued in September assessing no fines, just putting the residents on notice of the violations that exist. And it wasn't until December that an administrative citation was finally issued because the same violations persisted.
And if I could just clarify one thing, I did receive a phone message from Tara, and it said that they were working on it. I just assumed that she meant they were working on the violations, but after the fact, I kind of was wondering if she meant they were working on the car. But that was the only message I received, that they were working on it.
Call for question.
Yeah, I know that two phone calls were made to code enforcement. The initial one was after September 29th, and another phone call was done on the following day after the December recheck, on December the 16th or so. I know I called. That was when the phone call was returned by Ms. Rowland. I asked her, you know, exactly what the issues were with the home, how would we go about proceedings with the hearing, and she did explain to me that if it was just the refuse container, she wouldn't have bothered to cite us. So I was under the impression at that point that the working relationship here between code enforcement and us was pretty much null. We weren't going to be able to work with her at that point. So we just did what we could to clean the property as best as we could until we were getting paperwork on what was going on.
Are any of these vehicles inoperable at this time?
No, they're all drivable.
Yeah, they are?
Mm-hmm.
One of them you get is stolen, right?
Yeah, the 300s tags, I'm assuming, have been stolen. She's saying that they're not on the vehicle. I have AAA paperwork showing that that car is registered. And then the other car in the driveway, that white one that's on the left of my Ford, that one was just recently bought within, I want to say, the last 2 weeks. And like I said, my nephew bought it from a security company. They had to remove the tags because it was California exempt tags or something. So your security company told him, we have to remove the tags. When you get your smog, you're going to have to let them know you bought it from us. Gave him all the legal paperwork for the purchase, and he has gone down to DMV himself to get the tags and everything. So literally it's just pending the tags to be mailed. So I don't know anything really on that car other than what he has told us through AAA.
Any other questions? Call for motion.
Make a motion to reduce the fine to $150 and uphold all of motion to
I can support that if there's a reinspection in 30 days that no violations are found,
Okay.
Otherwise, the full fine will be instated. So I can back you up.
I will ask that you provide objective evidence on the car registration to the code.
Okay.
Call for a second.
A second.
Second.
Motion approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Remember, you have 30 days, and they're going to be back out there, so.
Yes, ma'am.
That's
okay.
Thank you.
We have one more. The order number 16-04.
Good morning, Commissioners. Denise Wilder, Weed Abatement Coordinator. On Thursday, April the 7th, 2016, Hearing Officer Order 16-018 was approved. All corrections have been made, and the list is now ready for submission to the County of San Bernardino Tax Assessor's Office. Staff's recommendation is that the Board of Building Commissioners approve Order Number 16-04 and uphold Hearing Order 16-018.
Do we have any objection to that recommendation?
Okay, we need a motion. Motion to accept.
All those approve?
Uphold, yep.
Opposed? Do I have a second?
I have it right here. Thank you.
Now, I have a chair prerogative. I would like to move the public comments down to below the director's report. And we will proceed, unless there's an objection, we will proceed to the building commissioner's report and announcements. Do we have any announcements to be made? Yes, sir.
Well, a number of months ago, I didn't think that we had a chance as a city to oppose the north-south gas line. It looks like we beat them, Goliath and David. And it's because of tremendous support from city officials and just tons of citizen letter writing and meetings. And it shows that we count. I think that's a good textbook lesson right there.
The residents have a voice, and it was heard. The residents have a voice, and it
and
was
they're
heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a good lesson there.
Any other comments? Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Today is market day every Thursday, so if you guys are hungry, because we've been here a while, I'm sure there's some food ready. And also on May 21st, the Friends of Reagan Park will be opening a new farmer's market at Littlefield Schultes Park. It was just passed city council on Monday. And so come on out, and don't forget, every third Thursday is Food Truck Thursdays. That's it.
I have one. Most of you may know that I moonlight at the Norton Museum a little bit. And November the 5th, I ask that you circle that on your calendar.
What day?
November the 5th. We're going to have another evening at the museum, and our guest speaker is going to be a tremendous speaker and SR-71 spy plane pilot who has a very dynamic presentation, one of the best that I've ever heard, and we're very excited about that. It'll be in the evening, 6-ish or so, so adjust your schedules and please come to see us. That'll be on a Saturday. If there are no other comments, director's report, are you going to do that for?
Actually, I did not have a director's report, and I know Director Persico was hoping to attend, but he had a meeting with the city manager.
You understand that there's a penalty for that? You buy lunch for all of us?
Really? I was going to say, actually, art night, Sandra's holding up, art night May 19th from 5 to 8. I believe, will be around this area of downtown, be City Hall. It shows the locations on there, so that's going to be a great event that we're definitely pushing and promoting. Also, just I know last time I mentioned a donation, the unattended donation bin ordinance that we're working on. So we will end up, we're getting closer. We have the final draft we're working on, so that will be upcoming sometime in the near future to regulate those rather than just them showing up.
Are you also going to regulate the free phone pop-ups everywhere?
I'm sorry?
The free phone giveaway thing, that those are popping up everywhere as well?
Right, and we're trying to do the best. I mean, my staff, we have a lot of high-priority issues to deal with, and trying to address those as well. We're not able to do as much, obviously, to keep those from happening, but we do, on occasion, officers, if they come across them while they're out in the field, are basically verbally advising them to leave because, yeah, they're not allowed. They're basically a transient vendor, and they can't. We've had hearings, seizure hearings now take place in the administrative hearing also. And so we are doing it. It's just a matter of, I know, yeah, we could spend every day all the time dealing with those, and we just don't have the ability to do that. So we do the best we can as far as addressing those. So we have confiscated phones when, you know, we've issued citations. So we're doing what we can. Again, they're everywhere. You're right. You happen to see them on a lot of locations, but they are prohibited. They're not allowed.
So they're considered the same as like a pop-up taco stand somewhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
They would not be able to get permits. There have been, I think, one of the first ones that we had dealt with actually became legal. They went into an actual business, and that's what we promote and say, you know what, you can do this. It's just you need to legally get inside a business and do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it does affect the people that actually have phone businesses. And sadly, we've come across several that actually are doing it outside of an area that has a phone business, you mm-hmm. know, figuring people are going in for that. They're going to be interested in these phones. So, mm-hmm. you know, that does harm the businessman that does it the right way. But there is a correct way of doing it.
Thank you, Jody.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? I have an agenda item under public comments. And again, this is not pointing the finger at any specific individual or group of individuals. It's a matter of an FYI type of thing. I've taken the liberty of a few pictures. If we can show these, please. They're quite simple, but it highlights an issue that I feel that the city is in the code department might have with dual standards. And if you'll plug in the first one and that's just a typical shot of a curb that's across the street from a school of little bitty kids. And I've submitted a work order to the city months ago.
The street department?
I'm sorry?
To the street department.
Well, through SB Direct or whatever
okay.
it is.
Yeah. So they would direct it to the yeah. streets.
No action is taken. Next picture, please. This is at the corner of Olive and Ohio. And it's typical of weed abatement is an eyesore to the community up there. Next picture, please.
Can I respond on that, though?
Sure.
Right now, as we go through the photos?
Sure.
Weed abatement has an annual survey. And currently, we have two part-time officers that do that on the weekends, strictly dealing with all the vacant lots in the city. So actually, notices started going out in March.
This was
started in March. And there's at least 3,500 to 4,000 vacant lots in the city. So those do get noticed. And then if the owners do not take care of it when we go back on reinspections, then we do have contractors that clear them.
That was my hook. This next picture is what I'm really after. This is driving Kindle, and this is between the sidewalk and the curb, and I believe it is city property. Next picture, please.
I could actually, and I'd like to respond on that. There is an endeavor right now going on between, it's like Quality of Life, Burtech, and they are going from quadrants of the city. They're starting out in the northwest quadrant.
Did we give up?
They're addressing city-owned properties, public right-of-ways, and doing that. So they are going to do it in a more of a sequential manner of clearing those items.
Did we give up, what do they call LRMs, where we have a contractor maintaining
LMDs.
City properties?
LMDs. may have changed just because of the whole Burtech. And Public Works they're addressing it in a different way because Burtech is now part of it because of Public Works. There's not that many on Public Works left on doing those. But Burtech is going to do the, like we were told, public right-of-ways, city-owned properties. And again, they're doing it in a systematic approach, though, so that they'll be in one certain area for 1 week. They started actually this week. In the northwest end of town.
Next picture, please. Oh, this picture here is Mountain View and Electric, I think we've talked about that, and it hasn't been touched. Next picture.
And actually, I had sent an email to Chris Alanis to say, so this, I'm assuming this is going to be part of the area that you guys are
it's getting worse
right now.
Now it's become a dumping ground. Yesterday, there were five-gallon cans, I'm assuming, of paint, I hope, and not oil or some other carcinogen. But they're out there amongst the weeds. And this is the same area. Next picture, please. Same thing. My issue is dual standards. The city needs to take care of their backyard before we come down on the residents for not maintaining their portion of the city. I mean, it throws up walls of communication, and I'm catching a lot of grief from the residents in my neighborhood, in my area, the Fifth Ward, about dual standards and not taking care of the city's backyard. Next picture, please. Go ahead. And, you know, I don't know what more to do. Perhaps this new process that you've undertaken with segmented the corrective action, I bet in the paper or write something and put it in the water bill.
Yeah, I haven't undertaken it. This is not code enforcement. So,
communicate it with the city, with the residents, so they know that there's a corrective action underway and it's going to take time, or it gives them some explanation of what's happening. Because right now, the weeds are not new. They're waist high, so they've been growing for a while. And the city, the residents are saying, what's happened? It's all, you guys have stopped doing business. You've stopped maintaining your own.
Yeah. I have heard where they are speaking at groups. I know I've gone to an association meeting where they actually spoke to the residents, and, you know, right before BURTEC did take, you know, April 1st, they were talking to different associations. I believe there have been some...
Yeah, they've came out to the Fifth Ward and said what they were going to do, but in the interim... It would appear that work has stopped and nothing is being done now, and the weeds are overtaking very public areas between Electric and Mountain View, going up the hill there is a dump.
And as soon
the only
as
thing
I
that's
have
missing are the mattresses.
Yeah, as soon as I have an answer back from Mr. Alanis, I will definitely answer you back in an email.
Okay, all right. That's all I have. Anyone has anything to bring up? I thank everyone for their patience and indulgence today, and we'll see you when we're scheduled again.
Motion to
adjourn?
Second.
So be it.
Thank you. I'll sign anything for you. Thank you, ma'am.
Pleasure doing business with you.